So let's review. The Gemara earlier cited a machlokes. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, kinyan peres ki kinyan guf dami. The person with the rights to the produce is the primary owner of the property. Rish Lakish amar kinyan peres laf ki kinyan guf dami. The person with the rights to the produce is not the primary owner of the property. The Gemara now cites a related brayse in which there seems to be the same machlokes tanoim. Nichse loch bacharecha lepleini the yared rishon amachar ba'achal. Someone said my property is bequeathed to you and afterwards to another, which means that he will receive it upon your death instead of your heirs. And the first person sold the property, Hasheni meitzi miyad lekuches divi rebbe. The sale is void, and the second person can seize the property from the buyer. Apparently, because kinyan peres lavka kinyan guftami. Therefore, the first recipient cannot sell the property. However, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel loimer ein l'sheni ela mashashai rishon. The second person is only entitled to receive the property from the first, and so he cannot seize the property. Apparently, because kinyan peres kinyan guftami. Therefore, the first recipient can sell the property. However, the Gemara proceeds to explain the machlokes according to Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. Rish Lakish says that everyone agrees kinyan peres lav kinyan guftami, and Rabbi holds acharecha nami kinyan peres ba'almahu. Acharecha l'plani is a typical case of kinyan peres, and they cannot sell the property. However, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel holds acharecha shami. Since he gave it to two people successively, he intends to give him the entire property, even the guf, but with the condition that it passes to the second fellow, not to his heirs. Therefore, the first recipient owns the property fully and can sell it. However, Rabbi Yochanan explains, Tanoihi, it is indeed a machlokes. Rabbi holds kinyan peres lav kikinya guf dami, while Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel holds kinyan peres kikinya guf dami. The Gemara now asks from an apparently contradicting brisa. Rabbi says the first recipient can sell the property, while Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer ein l'rishon ela achilas peres bolvad. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel holds he cannot sell it. Kasha the Rabbi ad the Rabbi, the Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel ad the Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Apparently, both Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel contradict themselves. The Gemara answers the Rabbi ad the Rabbi like kasha hal gufa hal peira. Rabbi holds kinyan peres lav kinyan guftami, and so in the first brisa he rules that he cannot sell the guf. However, in the second brisa, he referred to the peiros, which he certainly can sell. And Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel loy kasha, halakatchila hadiyavid. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel holds kinyan peiros kikinya guftami. And so in the first brisa, he rules that the sale is valid. However, in the second brisa, he rules that preferably he should not sell the property, since this was not the original owner's intention. The Gemara rules halacha Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, therefore the first recipient can sell the property. According to Rabbi Yochanan, this is because kinyan peres kikinya guftami. According to Rish Lakish, this is because acharecha shani. However, Abaye adds, Hamesi eitz alimkar benochasim zehu rasha arm. One who advises the first recipient to sell the property is considered a cunning, wicked person because he goes against the original owner's wishes with no personal gain. The Gemara qualifies its ruling. Maidir b'shimim gamliel she'im nasin b'matna shchimra lo yasa klum. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel agrees that he cannot give the property as a matna shchimra, a gift of a dying person, which is effective even without performing a kinyan, because matna shchimra loikana el lachar miso b'kvar kadmu acharecha. Matna shchimra only takes effect after his death, and at that point the second recipient already acquired it. The Gemara adds halacha Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Halacha follows Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel even in the following scenarios: afilo hoye behen avadim v'itzin lecheres. The first recipient can even free slaves, and we do not say lemevedi sur lo yavin lach. You did not receive this gift to transgress a prohibition, namely lo'ilam behem tavaydu, the prohibition to needlessly free one's slaves. Afilah son tachrichin lemes. He can even use the money to make shrouds, and we do not say l'shavinu isur hano lo yavilach. You did not receive this gift to buy items forbidden for benefit, such as shrouds. The Gemara discusses a related case. Estrig zed nosen lach b'matana v'acharecha l'plaini. If someone gave an estrig as a gift and told the recipient that after his death it should go to someone else, not like rishon miyatzabai, b'ana l'machlekes Rebbe Reb Shimon Gamliel. According to Rebbe, he was not yotze the mitzvah of dalad minim because kinyan peres lav kinyan guftami. He only has a kinyan peres, and the Torah says of lekachtem lochem, one must own the estrig. According to Reb Shimon Gamliel, he was yotze the mitzvah because kinyan peres kinyan guftami, and he owns it. However, the Gemara asks, "E meipik loy nafik bay lamai yahavin alei." He obviously wanted the first person to use it for the mitzvah, because for what other use did he give it to him? The mitzvah is the payris of the asterisk. Therefore, the Gemara rules, "Meipik to kulam alei pligi de nafik bay." Everyone agrees he is yaitz the mitzvah, because as the Rashbam explains, "Lit loy velotzis bay hainu payris anasin l'rishon." He owns the kinyan payris, and this is the only use of the asterisk. However, machra ay achlo bundle machlekes Rabbi Reb Shimon Gamliel. According to Rebbe, he cannot eat it or sell it, since he only owns the peres. While according to Reb Shimon Gamliel, he can eat or sell it since he is the primary owner. The Gemara cites a related case. If brothers purchased an esrog with funds from their father's undivided estate, and one of them used the esrog for the mitzvah, if the brothers would allow him to eat the esrog, as Rashbam explains, if they have other esrogim they can use, or if they really discharge their obligation, and so they allow him to take the esrog as part of his portion of the estate, then he was yaitzi. Otherwise, he was not yaitzi because the pasuk says, "V'kachtem lachem mishalachem shehi kulei shaloi." One must have full ownership in the esrog. One partner cannot be yaitzi with an esrog hashutvan. A similar ruling: esrog zeh nasan lach b'matana amanasha tachzirehu li, not lebiyatzibay. Someone gave an esrog as a gift on the condition that it shall be returned, and the recipient used it for the mitzvah. If the recipient indeed returned it, he was yaitze, because matana manas lahachzor shma matana. It is retroactively established that the gift was valid and it was his at the time. However, if he did not return it, he was not yaitze, because he did not fulfill the condition, and so he never owned the esrog in the first place. A related incident. A woman owned a palm tree in the property of Rabbi Barabaya. She sold it to him for the duration of his lifetime, and he then gave it to his son in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who validates a sale by the first recipient. However, Avhun Brei de Yeshua argued, only in the case where a second recipient is to receive the property upon the first recipient's death, Reb Shimon Gamliel holds the first recipient can sell it. However, if the property is to return to the original owner, he certainly intended only a kinyan peres, and the sale is not valid. A related ruling. If someone gives an ox as a gift on the condition that it shall be returned, if the recipient consecrated the animal and then returned it to the owner, the animal remains consecrated, and the return is valid. The Gemara explains that it depends. If he said return the animal, he may consecrate the animal and return it. But if he said return the animal to me, this means to return it for his use. Therefore, retroactively, the gift is not valid and the animal is not consecrated.